Yeah, recently, last couple months, we're speaking about what the gospel is. How to do it in different ways from different pieces of scripture. The thing I want to talk about is it's Romans 4, but it's about it's about what strong faith is. So, some people, established church, talk about being a good Christian. So, what they generally mean by that is you do things properly. The Word of God says it's impossible to please God without faith, which means that faith's what pleases God. I've said to you, you get your sins forgiven by having faith that Christ died for your sin. That's the way which you get your sins forgiven. Because when you have faith, you take God up on his offer of any person that believes Christ died for the sins, he'll forgive their sin and give them righteousness. So faith is the thing that means something to God. That's the deal on the table. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is Christ died for your sin, and if you believe the gospel, then God promises that you have your sin forgiven. And in believing the gospel, you honour God because you just trust what he says. If you hear the gospel and believe it, then you've believed what God's told you. And if you believe that faith is sufficient for having your sins forgiven and being righteous before God, which it is, which the Word of God says it is, then you trust God that his word's true. You get your sins forgiven, but you know, it also honours God that you've actually trusted what he says. You've believed him. You've believed him at his word. So it's only possible to please God with faith. When you get your sins forgiven, you please God. When you, after you get your sins forgiven, you have faith of what's happened to you. So you walk along, Satan says you're not righteous, and you go, I am righteous because I've had my sins forgiven. So you have faith in the initial thing that happened to you when you got your sins forgiven. So all that faith in God, it pleases God. Then there's often doctrines about, okay, that stuff's true, but how are you meant to do that to the max? What's the thing that you can optimize or do maximum for you to be the best Christian or to you to do it properly? So often it's, okay, you have to have, you know, often what's said is is a thing you're meant to have faith in is the Word of God. But what I want to say today is it's not just any of the Word of God that you pick out, it's the Word of God that's relevant to you as a Christian. And strong faith is not strong willpower, trying to make your faith bigger by willpower, trying to feel it bigger. Strong faith is when the object of your faith is narrowed down and it's only Christ. So according to the Word of God, you have strong faith not when you try your best for your faith to increase. It's not when you try your best to believe at the most in God. You have the strongest faith when your faith is only in Christ. Anyway, I want to read out Romans 4, and in Romans it talks about a man called Abraham, and God promised Abraham. Yeah, Abraham wasn't a Christian, but he was a Jew, and he was. And God said to Abraham, he gave him a promise that he would be the father of many nations, that in Abraham's seed and his descendants, like nations, would be blessed. That was God's promise to Abraham. When he made the promise to Abraham, he made it clear that the promise was that that Abraham's wife, Sarah, was going to bear a child for Abraham, and that would be his descendants, that would be the first of the line of descendants. The thing was that Abraham was over 100 years old, and the Word of God says that Sarah, you know, in old language, like she was barren, she was well past childbearing age, so it wasn't naturally possible for her to have a child. So, but God said, I am going to make you a promise that the nations will be blessed through your descendants. So anyway, Abraham believed God. He had faith in that promise, and it came to pass. But along the way, he sort of doubted, and he took matters into his own hands. He tried to, he had a child with his maidservant because he thought he'd give God a helping hand in making the promise come true, because his wife, obviously, according to him, in his natural thinking, couldn't have a child. So he decided to relate closely with his maidservant and had a child through her. And God said, that's not my plan. So it wasn't God's plan for Abraham to try to make God's promise come to pass. God said exactly the way his promise was going to come to pass, and Abraham was meant to trust him in the original promise, not try to make it come to pass himself. But according to Paul, God's promise to Abraham, when Abraham believed God, because when he doubted God, it didn't mean that he didn't believe him. Abraham believed God, but he had a blip at a certain time when he doubted in his head. It didn't mean he stopped believing God's promise, but he doubted in his head and he went off and tried to do it himself. But according to the word of God, irrespective, even though he had that blip and he doubted, Abraham's faith in God was counted towards him as righteousness. And Paul said that's the model of the gospel. So Abraham wasn't a Christian, but Paul said that the deal on offer to Christians is if you believe God, you're righteous through that. Paul said, what happened to Abraham's a model of the way it is for Christians. So I want to read out Romans 4 where it talks about that, because it explains and brings to light what the actual deal for the gospel for you is. Okay, so this is what Romans 4 says. Paul said, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he is whereof to glory, but not before God. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Did this blessedness come then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? Was it when he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? And not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they may not be though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to him who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he has yet being uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law works wrath, for where and no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only that which is of the law, but also that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, who against all hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it's not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification. So he says, Paul says a lot of stuff, but what he says is that it was Abraham's faith in the actual promise of God that was accounted for him for righteousness. So what that means is that God considered Abraham to be righteous because Abraham believed God in his original promise. Now, Abraham went off and did his own thing for a while and tried to get a son a different way. That ain't mentioned in what's counted to Abraham as righteousness. It said God counted Abraham as righteous not by him trying to make the promise happen, but by him actually believing in the promise and the promise being delivered. Paul said that's the model of the gospel. So the gospel and the promise to you is that if you believe Christ died for your sin, God will accredit, like if you believe Christ died for your sin, you will receive the righteousness of Christ. You'll get righteous by that faith. Now, many say that strong faith is, you read the word of God and you try to keep as much of it as you can. But there's a whole load of word of God to Israel that's not to the church. You know, the Ten Commandments were given to Israel, not to the church. There's a school of thinking that you try to, the faith in as much of the word of God, you're trying to keep as much of the word of God as you can. The more you try to keep the word of God, that's more, you have more and more faith, and that's more and more stronger faith, and you more and more please God. But some of the word of God is for Israel and some is for the church. So there's the Ten Commandments given. But Paul says, like, the law's not of faith. And he says you're free from the law. So the word of God that you're meant to have faith in for your salvation is the word of God to the church. And the word of God to the church is that you are freed from the law. And for you to have strong faith is for you to have faith in the exact promise of God to you. And the exact promise of God to you is that if you believe Christ died for your sins, you will receive the righteousness of Christ. You will receive the righteousness of God. And the word of God to you is the law is not of faith and you are not under law. So for you to have strong faith as a Christian, for you to have strong faith is the object of your faith is only Christ. It's not strong faith to say, okay, you trust Christ for your righteousness, but you'll also try to keep the law because you may as well. I try to keep everything the word of God says, because some of the word of God is to Israel and some of the word of God is to the church. And Paul said, you are not under law. So it's not a faith for you to try to keep the law. It's not a faith for you to try to please God by keeping the law. And it's not just not a faith. It's against faith. Like, the strongest faith that you can have is saying that Christ died for your sin. Your righteousness comes from God and you do not need to keep the law at all. So strong faith for a Christian is just the object of your faith only being Christ. Christ is sufficient for your righteousness, not Christ is sufficient for your righteousness and you try to keep the law as well. So that's it. So I meant to define what strong faith is, because you can meet Christians who say strong faith is trusting Christ for your righteousness and then also doing the Ten Commandments, because there's no harm in doing all the stuff it says. But I'm telling you, some of the stuff it says is not for you. And it doesn't add to your faithfulness before God to keep stuff, to try to keep stuff that's not for you. It has the opposite effect. If you try to keep the law as well as trusting Christ for your righteousness, that doesn't make you more faithful. It goes against you trusting Christ for your righteousness. If you do both, what I'm saying is, if you do both, you're still righteous before God. If you try to get your own right, if you trust Christ for your righteousness and also sort of hedge your bets and try to keep, you know, the law as much as you can, you're still righteous before God. But that's not the maximum faith you can have. The maximum faith you can have is leaving all the stuff to do with the law behind. Leaving it behind and solely trusting Christ for your righteousness. If you want to operate in maximum faith, the way of doing it is you trust Christ for your righteousness only. And do not trust the law for your righteousness. Leave that stuff. Established church often get you to hedge your bets, do both. Trust Christ your righteousness and then as much of stuff as you can. But that ain't strong faith, that's less than strong faith. Because the trusting, trying to keep the Ten Commandments for your righteousness, that is not trusting Christ for your righteousness. So it's less than. So I meant to tell you what strong faith is. Strong faith is only trusting Christ for your righteousness, and that's it. That's the most way you can please God through your walking around faith, is to only trust Christ for your righteousness. So, you know, when 10 years ago, I didn't know what how I was meant to do things the best, the most. And I found this book by a man called Charles Spurgeon, who lived 200 years ago, and it said it had a title of Strong Faith on it. And then I opened the book, and it was like, it was a tiny book anyway, and there was massive words in his tiny book. So basically, his message was like, he only needed half a page to write his message. And his message was to have strong faith. It's not all this fancy stuff. The strong faith is the object of your faith, Christ, is to have him only as the object of your faith. That is how you can have strong faith, because you have faith only in him. You have faith only in Christ for your righteousness and absolutely nothing else. That is the strongest faith you can have, because you're not, it's the purest faith. You only have faith in Christ. You don't have faith in your ability to please God at all. So the strongest faith you can have is only faith in Christ and not trusting anything else, not trusting your own behavior or anything else for your righteousness. So I'm just meant to tell you what the strongest faith you can have is. And if faith pleases God, that's the most you can please God by your faith in God for your righteousness, is to only trust Christ for your righteousness. All right, that's it.